Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is a return favorite, Rob Rakicki. The Broadway composer, lyricist, all around interesting, fun connoisseur of all things geeky, science fiction-y, fantasy, and a little bit of horror now. So yeah. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your new project got my attention very quickly because you combined the word monsters, you combined graphic novels, and show tunes. just a couple things. I'm a huge monster movie fan, so you got my attention with monster songs. And then you said, hey, we have this album of songs accompanying this performance, and we now have a graphic novel to go along with it. And I said, tell me more. I am intrigued. Go on. So what exactly is Monster Songs? Because it sounds like this has been a project that has spanned quite a long time.
Yeah, it has been. This has been a labor of love for over, going on maybe 6 years now. I think we started in 2011. I started with an idea for a song. I'm born on Halloween. I have a twin sister, so I've always been obsessed with monsters, obviously. It's funny, my nephew is like 3 and he's like all about monsters, and my sister's like, oh, I know where he gets it from. But I do a lot of Halloween gigs with a dear friend of mine, Joey Connors, and we've always been playing Halloween songs. It got me thinking about doing songs that from a monster's point of view. And I proposed this kind of idea that maybe Joe and I would work on a couple ideas of songs together. We got one song together. It was called Footprints, and it was about a Yeti and a Sasquatch that are kind of that find each other, kind of best friends, kindred spirits. And it was a blast working on it. And Joe's like, you need to go farther and just take this on your own. And I'm glad he did. And then I kept working on it and working on it and developing other songs and concerts and things. And eventually I thought there's a visual component to this and I don't know what to do with it. And I had seen a lot of work from my friend Dave O'Neill, who had done some children's books and illustrating. And I saw that he had done some Game of Thrones characters that were gorgeous and gross and awesome on his website. And I was like, Dave, you know, do you ever do anything other than, you know, your children's books? I love these Game of Thrones things. Would you be considered like maybe doing one or two, like, you know, like art pieces of artwork that would go with some of these songs? The idea was originally to find a different artist that might go with each song, and that each song has kind of a different song style that would go with it as I figured out what the monster might, you know, what it might sound like. And he was like, no, let me have a crack at it. And the man is just incredible at being a chameleon. Every single monster he drew was so different from the other one. And some were, you know, kind of a Frank Miller black and white, very stark stylized thing. Others were almost like photoreal and beautifully drawn. Others were very like cartoonish, depending on like the kind of song that it was. And we developed the project, over a long period of time, and I self-produced it. So it took a very long time of calling in a lot of favors. But then I started to put together some casts, and I was very lucky. I had an actress named Megan Hilty, who's just a wonderful woman and an old friend of mine, who she said she would sing on it. And that kind of helped get more people on board and involved with it. And the ghost song was written with her in mind, and she did an incredible job with it. So, yeah, it was getting the right people and calling in favors and making it happen and kind of tailoring a story together out of all of it. So that's how it started. And now we have a graphic novel that goes with it. The whole idea was to always have a visual component, an actual physical book. And it took another year of working before we got a physical copy, but that just came out this past week. And it's beautiful. It's over 120 pages of art that David has, that Broadway Records has released. And that was another thing that was Van Dien, the head of Broadway Records was so great about being a champion of my work after Lightning Thief, and he came on board to say that he would distribute the Monster songs, and I'm really grateful for him. So yeah, it was a lot of teamwork. There's almost 30 different artists involved in terms of musicians. I think there's 4 different drummers on the album. It's crazy.
It is a true labor of love. The graphic novel is absolutely gorgeous. It's stunning. The way the lyrics sort of play in with the characters that make them look like they're in motion. Like a couple pages I saw made it look like the characters were in motion with the words. I'm like, how do you do that?
He's so smart, man. And one of the, I think part of that happened was, you know, just because he was participatory in a lot of the concerts that we had done initially. We had done projections and some basic animatics when I had done a couple concerts. We did one at this cool kind of gothy nightclub called Les Poissons Rouges down in the Village. A small theater company called Libra Theater helped us produce our very first concert. And so we've always tried to incorporate Dave's art whenever possible. And so having that fluidity and kind of the images and the lyrics and trying to synthesize those have been always on our forefront. And now we're trying to figure out what to do to expand that further, both in terms of a theatrical element and making it an immersive theater piece and truly like breaking it apart into, you know, what would a Sleep No More version of Monster Songs look like as an experiential theater. And then also as a virtual reality video game, which we're very excited about the possibility of.
Nice. So were you actually projecting some of the artwork during performances? Yeah. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, we would have the artwork and some of it would move a little. You know, we would, you know, Dave would time it together with different things and the actors would dress in costume. And it was really fun to see the kind of hybrid of art and performance and music together. And it was a lot of fun.
So where is Monster Songs being performed now? Or are these upcoming performances that you're preparing for?
So I've got 2 big things on the docket for Monster Songs. One is the National Alliance of Musical Theater. We've been selected out of many hundred shows. We were lucky enough to be one of the 8 shows that are going to be doing performances October 25th and 26th. They are pretty exclusive. So if you're a theater company and you're a NAMPT member, you can register to be a part of it. So you're probably not going to get to see it that way. However, in London, we're going to be at the Other Palace November 5th and 6th with an incredible cast as well. The cast at NAMPT is a bunch of Broadway veterans, and it's a really exciting group of people. We just finished casting today, so that's really exciting. But in London, we'll be up at the Other Palace, and there's tickets available there right now on the Other Palace's website. And hopefully, you know, maybe this will lead to another production or some, you know, further big things for the show. That's what we're hoping for. Who knows?
Well, I wish you luck on getting the VR game out there, because games are a big thing now. And just to be able to combine, you know, Dave's art with the music in a game environment just sounds so just addictively appealing to me.
Thanks. Well, you know, it's the fun thing. And something we were trying to tap into with Lightning Thief too is, you know, where are those other worlds combined of the comic book fans and musical theater fans and, you know, rock musical fans, you know, who, you know, where does that merge together in also, you know, visual art as a storytelling medium and performance combined, you know? So that's something we're really, really playing with. There aren't a lot of virtual reality musicals that I can think of. So we're going to do a presentation before the concert in London of the song Footprints that the company Playlines has developed for us. So that'll be exciting to see how that kind of works. And it takes it all back to the very first song that I wrote for the thing with Joe. So it's cool.
Nice. So Monster Songs, the website is monstersongs.net.
Yep.
The graphic novel and the album, they come together. Like when you buy them, you buy like both of them together.
Yeah, you can do it a couple different ways. I mean, you can just buy the album if you want on iTunes or whatever. And Broadway Records, though, has the physical graphic novel. You can also get a digital download of it. But there's something about the tangible thing that is so great. And if you buy the graphic novel, it comes with the CD, it comes with an album. And Dave and I have signed it, and it's real pretty. It just some to hold something means a lot to me. I don't know, maybe
Yeah.
I'm just because I'm old, but like having tactile things, having a physical comic is always more fun than seeing it online for me.
Yeah, if it's something this unique, I'd want a physical book to hold in my hands too.
Like a
So,
coffee table piece, you know, it's fun.
yeah. And you really can't have an artist sign an iPad. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, loses a little something.
So both of these are available now, like through iTunes and
Yep.
Amazon, and I'm
Yeah,
guessing
and
at Broadway
Broadway Rec.
Records. Cool,
Yeah.
cool.
Yep.
Well, we will have links to where people can buy that, but you have a lot of other stuff coming along. Now, we talked a couple years ago, I think it was about 2 years ago, about Lightning Thief, the musical, when it was getting ready for its Broadway run. But now phase two of that is coming along. You're going on tour nationally with it.
Yeah, I'm excited slash terrified, but I think it's going to be awesome. It's like the little show of the could that just keeps on trucking. Yeah, when we talked last time, I was just tickled that the fans were happy. We wanted to do right by them, and the larger theater community seemed to really embrace us. So that was great. We open, it's going to be cold. We open in Chicago in January. January 9th, I believe, is our opening performance. And I'm really excited. We open at this huge theater, the Oriental Theater in Chicago. So we hope our, you know, we're making our 7-person show fill that big space in really exciting creative ways. We're working on that. Sound design is going to be real important. And then we go on a big tour. We tour all over the country, and some dates are already on the Lightning Thief website, and you can get tickets there. And a bunch more dates are going to be announced, and I know it's coming to some really exciting cities that I'm not allowed to talk about yet, but will be announced soon.
Cool. So we will definitely have links to your opening performances in Chicago. I know a lot of people in the theater community up there. They mostly do horror stage plays, but
They do, don't they?
they
They
do a
do. It's so
lot.
cool. I gotta get myself out to Chicago.
Well, I'm happy to help get the word out about the Lightning Thief tour, because even as early as just a few months ago, I was telling people, it's like, oh yeah, Lightning Thief had a musical, and they're like, wait, what? They had no idea there was a stage performance of it, because there are so many fans of that book series, and most of them were kind of let down by the movies. But the musical, everyone who I've heard who has seen it loves it.
Well, I'm really proud of it. You know, Joe Tracy wrote the book to the play to it, and I worked really hard to try to get the tone right and do by right by Rick, you know, and his agents, Nancy and Marietta, who I think I mentioned last time, were very hands-on with us about, you know, this is right. This we can do this. Can't get away with that kind of thing. So it was great to have their guidance to really make sure we were trying to keep the spirit of the piece right and the tone right. And that was a big thing, and make sure we got that sense of fun and adventure out of it. You know, without losing the heart, especially that between Percy and his mom. You know, so.
Now, is anybody else from the original, I guess, production staff also helping out with the tour? Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of returning folks. More exciting announcements will be coming soon, but we definitely have our two leads, Chris McCarroll, who played Percy, is returned to do it, as well as Kristen Stokes, who's going to be our Annabeth. And I am just over the moon that they're going to do this tour. It's really exciting. They've put so much of their heart and soul into it. So it's really exciting for them that they want to continue the journey and, you know, keep developing their work on the characters and stuff. It just makes me really, really happy that they've connected so much with the piece.
I'm happy to hear that because I still point people to that that sort of behind the scenes good kid recording that Chris did for the original Broadway production. I love that song, and I just love
Oh, thanks.
watching him perform that because he's really, really just embracing the disappointment and confusion that Percy has in that moment. And just seeing that on his face while he's singing that just tickles me to no end.
Yeah, he really connected with it. He calls Percy his like spirit animal, and I really think it is. Like he really is Percy in real life. He's a little easily distracted, and he's got a lot of energy, and he's got a lot of heart, and he's a good guy. I really love Chris. He's a sweetheart, and what a voice, man!
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Kills it. Kills it.
So what else are you preparing for? 'Cause it sounded like you had like five or six projects like hovering around you at the same
I
time.
do. Well, I'm sure you're the same. You gotta have a million irons in the fire because you don't know what'll stick. Monster Songs was something I was working on while I was trying to get a bunch of other shows on the ground, but something I could always come back to because it was something that was just kind of my little secret. But now I'm doing a couple things that are coming up. I'll be in Los Angeles at USC developing a show called Relativity, which is about twins, brother sister twins. Which I know a little something about, and it's a pop rock musical that I'm really excited to do. It's been around for a little while, and we're gonna kind of reopen it and take a look at it. So that'll be in November. Obviously, going to London to do Monster Songs. The Cap 21 slash Molloy College out in Long Island are gonna do a reading workshop of a show of mine called Experience Marianas, which is about a cult. It's a female cult based on 2 years of research of cults, of real cults. It's kind of a sci-fi horror comedy, but think like Little Shop in terms of like the tone of it. But it's got a lot of sad things in it too. But I think it's gonna, it's pretty upsetting. But I think like the things I'm trying to explore and look at in my art right now, at least, is like, things in our current world, toxic masculinity and cycles of violence and groupthink, and tribalism and all that kind of stuff. But do it in a fun, exciting way, and I think this show is really, really the weirdest thing I've ever written, and I'm really proud of it. It's really crazy. So we just finished casting that. I'm working on a musical about Vietnam,
Oh.
with some folks about the draft, that I'm excited about, and a couple other little things, a punk rock musical. With female artists, which that I'm really excited about. More is going to come about that very soon, so I'll be able to talk about that soon.
Cool. So you've got irons in the sci-fi world, the fantasy world, the horror world. How much of a genre fan are you?
I love playing with genre. I like embracing genre and then like kind of turning it on its head. I mean, one of the things that's so fun about this kind of cult show is that I can play with, different aspects of different things that are somewhat sci-fi, somewhat spiritual, somewhat comedy, somewhat, musical theater. I like to be able to kind of play with genre, but I love embracing just, horror to begin with too. There's, I love horror musicals, and there are not a lot of them, but Sweeney Todd and Carrie. Or campy horror too, like Rocky Horror. They're really fun.
What would be your ideal show? Like your perfect original show?
Oh, that's hard. Well, I mean, I mentioned Little Shop of Horrors is one of my favorite musicals of all times, and to me, that's pretty much a perfect show. It's that balance of heart and horror and comedy and killer pop songs and a giant plant that eats people. I mean, like, it's hard to top that, so I'd have to come up with something that does something similar.
Cool. Well, hopefully you'll get a chance to dive into that someday because, like I said, you're the lyrics you came up with for the music and everything for Lightning Thief just, broke my heart. I cried in a lot of
Thanks.
spots. And just hearing that you had more stuff out, I said, more, please. So the Monster Songs, when that is already available, correct?
Yeah, that's out. We had the that is out and it's through Broadway Records and yeah, I'm really proud of it. And the Lightning Thief, the vocal selections are finally out
Oh,
on
cool.
Hal Leonard. So we worked really hard to get those. So a bunch of songs now are out for you to sing along to. So folks can do that now too, which is we were fans have been wanting that for a long time. So I'm excited they get to do that.
Nice. And when will people in Chicago be able to start buying tickets for Lightning Thief?
They can buy them now. They
Oh.
can. It's online at the Lightning Thief musical.com.
Cool. We'll have links to that, and I will make sure my horror theater friends in Chicago know you're coming.
Please, I would love to meet them. Please, I would love it. Maybe we'll collaborate on the next on Salem's Lot! Exclamation mark, the musical.
Ooh, you have my
That's fun.
attention again,
No,
sir.
I love that. That's one of my favorite Stephen King's. It's a good one.
I'm trying to think, how hard would that be to make into a musical?
I don't know. There's been a lot of very bad vampire musicals. So, well, who's to say if they're bad or good? I will just say there's been a lot of vampire musicals that maybe some are more effective than others. I mean, a lot of work goes into a musical, so
Cool.
there, that's all I'll say. So.
Oh, well, we will have links to Monster Songs and Lightning Thief, and where can people find you online?
So you can find me at robertrokicki.com, even though I don't know why I go by Robert. I only when I'm in trouble am I Robert. So, but if you look up Robert Kiki, you'll find me. You'll find a bunch of my musicals there. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at R Rokicks, Rokicks. There's a kick in the middle. That's how you know. That's how you know.
Awesome. Well, we will have links to that where people can find you and chat you up on Twitter when you have the time. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you. Wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa. The first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award. With weekly stories from the world's best authors. Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more. With news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pole, Wolf, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And yes, you guys should check out Monster Songs. It's really, really fun. And if you have a chance to catch any of the upcoming performances, I recommend that as well. And you can go to lightningthiefmusical.com to see the upcoming dates in 2019, where you can catch that coming hopefully to a city near you. Like I said, the first major city is Chicago in January. And it really does sound like I should get to Chicago this year for Death Scribe in the first week, the first Monday in December, but it's cold. It's very cold up there. So I'm not sure if I'm, maybe I have to build up tolerance to cold again. Try it next year. We shall see. We shall see. Coming up, we have talks about Black Lightning and the rest of the DC universe on the CW. We have a few more. Let's see. Constantine, City of Demons just came out on Blu-ray and 4K. Batman, the animated series, remastered animated series, comes out at the end of October. Oh man, if I get a chance to check that out, I would be just so giddy. So we shall see what happens there. Got a few more indie sci-fi and indie horror interviews on deck. Not sure of the exact schedules of those, but as soon as they're ready, you will hear them right here. And those of you who remember that I'm a huge fan of space opera will know that I've been extremely excited about the return of Babylon 5 to both streaming and cable TV. Those of you who have Amazon Prime, you can watch Babylon 5. I think it's all 5 seasons. I'm not sure if it includes all the movies because I don't have Amazon Prime. I haven't peeked yet to see what is available on Prime, but it's definitely seasons 1 through 5. And that has been available since, I believe, the beginning of June. And October 1st, Comet TV started airing Babylon 5 twice a day, 7 days a week. Yes, that's right. Sunday through Saturday, 7 days a week. You can watch Babylon 5 at 12 noon Eastern and at 9 p.m. Eastern. And I'm debating whether or not to live tweet any of those just out of like a feeling of nostalgia. I have been live tweeting Black Lightning on Tuesday night, so that's a little conflict in timing there, but hey, we can adjust, right? But yeah, if you want to see Babylon 5 on TV, if your cable system is carrying Comet TV, check it out. They're also airing Space 1999 on weekends, I believe. I'm not sure the exact times, but they are airing Andromeda, Stargate SG-1, and Babylon 5 twice a day. Check your local listings if you feel like binging. But yeah, the new attention garnered by Babylon 5 being back on cable has been fun. I have, yes, revived the Babylon Podcast Twitter account. It was sort of just fallow. I tweet something once every, I don't know, 6 months or so, but having the episodes back on has given me reason to go in and finish the website makeover that I've been planning for it. Actually, if I had planned things better, BabylonPodcast.com would have had its overhaul before Slice of Sci-Fi did earlier this summer. But life manages to, shall we say, rearrange one's priorities at its own whims. And that's, that kind of sums it up. But yeah, Babylon Podcast is active again. Not the podcast itself, the website and the Twitter feed, just because I can. But if you have any questions or comments regarding, oh, I don't know, Babylon 5, Black Lightning, Death Scribe, musical theater with a horror flavor to it, feel free to call. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Questions, comments, answers, all shall be provided depending on my encyclopedic knowledge and my access to Google. Don't know if you've noticed yet, but if you are listening to this before October 18th, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Fathom Events 50th anniversary screening of the remastered original George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. As long as you are in the U.S. and are near a theater that hosts Fathom Events screenings, you can be eligible to win a pair of passes to one of the screenings held on October 24th or October 25th. If you live in one of those cities, go ahead and reply to the tweet about what your favorite zombie movie is and why. And I will pick 5 people at random on the 18th, and you will be contacted with information how to pick up your tickets at the theater of your choice and enjoy a theater screening of the remastered Night of the Living Dead. 5 pairs of tickets, 5 people will win a pair of tickets to one of those screenings anywhere in the United States that hosts Fathom Events screenings. So if you go to, I believe it's fathomevents.com to see which theaters near you might be hosting a screening of that film. I will need the zip code and name of the theater if you are selected as one of the winners. So plan ahead, get all that done ahead of time, and then enter the contest. And good luck, fellow zombie movie fans. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, and TuneIn. You can also leave a review for the show on iTunes or on Stitcher. Let people know you are enjoying the show and maybe they should check it out for themselves. The reviews do help with the profile of the show. So if you are listening through those platforms, leave us a review. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. We have links to a couple of new videos from our good friend in Los Angeles, Nerdso, Lil Kid. He was our representative, boots on the ground, at Shriekfest Los Angeles this past weekend. He did an amazing job. And I am tickled pink that he was able to get such cool video from the film festival that weekend. We have links to it from the website, and I will be linking to them from the YouTube channel very soon. There's, of course, the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come over, visit, leave a review, join in the conversation in the comments about any of the reviews we've done so far. I'd like to thank everybody who's supporting Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark and Babylon Podcast through your pledges through Patreon. Every dime helps to keep those sites online, so thank you very much. If you want to add your support through pledging, the link is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. I also want to send a grateful shout out to the geek rock band Psy Fried for providing the musical accompaniment that you hear here on the show. Thanks, guys. You know that I love you. I love you all. I really do. It's, you know, getting a little verklempt here, but thank you. If you want to explore more of their music, both covers and originals, the place to go is psy-fried.com. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.